This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Things are getting interesting in the National League. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. All right, let's lay it out. That was last night. The Padres, who are still alive to take the division from the Dodgers, they finished that game with a triple play, as you heard there last night. Joe Davis on the call. So, Hugh, we wake up today, and the Dodgers still have a half-game lead over the Phillies for the best record. They have a two-game lead in their division. But we keep talking about who we want the Phillies to play or who they could play. We have to now throw this little wrinkle in the mix. The Dodgers could be an opponent for the Phillies in the wild card, in the divisional round. The Padres could steal the NL West. If the Padres win out, including two more against the Dodgers tonight and tomorrow, they win the West. So the Dodgers aren't locked into their own division, even though right now they're the number one seed. It's pretty wild, Hugh. The team that's number one right now isn't even a lock to win their own division. This thing could change a lot in the next few days.
Yeah, because you're talking about what the Padres have, what, 91 games won and to 93?
To 93.
Don't they have the tiebreaker against the Dodgers?
They do. So yeah. If the Padres win the next two, that would mean they're tied. And then if they win out the rest of the weekend, they win the division. Like, they control the West if they win out. The Phillies right now are the two. Their magic number for at least the two seed is two. So the Brewers won last night. Phillies obviously lost. So we still need a magic number of two to clinch at least a bye. I'm not worried about that. I'm still not. As far as the rest of the teams, there's some weather that's now factoring in here, Kyle, between the Mets and the Braves that could throw this whole thing into a city. So there's a significant storm down south. Mets and Braves might not be able to play today or tomorrow, which means they'd probably have to play Monday to finalize this?
Like a doubleheader Monday, in the worst-case scenario. And that puts them in position to have to play the very next day having a doubleheader.
Oh, my goodness. Doubleheader Monday, and then right to a playoff game Tuesday for the winner.
And then what that does is probably forces them into not using one of their top two starters, considering that those two games Monday are going to be very important.
It also screws the Diamondbacks potentially, because they're the team that might have one of the, like, on Sunday, the Diamondbacks might not know, are we in, or do we have to wait to see if the Mets lose both or Braves lose both?
They
might
have to watch a doubleheader to find out.
Yeah. That throws the whole thing off heading into next week. I still think the Dodgers are going to find a way to win one of these next two against San Diego and win the West, but that's suddenly not locked in anymore.
Well, that could have a ripple effect through the NLDS too, just depending on how the pitching matchups have to set up for, say they squeak out with, having to use their third and fourth starters in one of those games.
The teams that seem to be in the best shape based on what we just talked about are the Phillies, as long as they get two more wins or, get the number two wrapped up, and Milwaukee, because Milwaukee's going to be penciled into the three, and they're just going to set themselves up for next week. Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Diamondbacks, Braves, it's all coming down to this final weekend.
So, I know that I said I didn't want to see the Braves in the postseason.
Now, do you?
Well, because I kind of want to see the Mets collapse again. I can't get enough of that stuff.
Yeah, I saw something this morning, someone writing about the Mets saying it's like the horror movie all over again. They go to Atlanta and they can't win.
I need that so bad.
That happened to them, when they were the front runners,
2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah, in 22, they had a big lead on the Braves, and didn't they get swept at the end of the season?
Yeah, they did.
That's awesome.
And that's when they had Scherzer and DeGrom, too. They were supposed to.
They might not even get these games in next week. It's supposed to be pretty bad in Georgia. They're talking about, power outages and stuff like that.
They could end up moving these games.
Oh, to a different stadium, like the NFL does sometimes?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be bad. It's supposed to be real bad.
Yeah, it's going to be wild for everyone involved. And then baseball, we might not even know who the Phillies are playing next, like who they even could potentially play until like Tuesday or Monday night. Yeah, it's going to be wild to see how this plays out. But the Phillies, how about just win tonight? How about knock this thing down to one for the magic number for the two seed, and then we go from there. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Tom in the Northeast. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
What's up, Tom?
What's up, Tom?
Dude, look, I've been on so long that it was before Seth Joyner came on. You know, and I really wanted to talk to Seth. I never heard him leave. What happened?
You mean like leave the show?
Yeah, he has stuff to do.
Yeah,
I know, brother, but, yo, hey, Hugh.
Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure. You're
Thank
a gentleman. You. I agree with you. Your baseball knowledge is second to none. Rojas
second
is
to
not
a lot
problem.
Of people.
And I will, and look, if you buy me a number 99 Taiwan Walker jersey, I will wear it.
I don't think anybody would.
I was in the team store last night, Tom. I didn't see many.
If anybody wants to get rid of one, okay, I'll tell you why. If we're worried about the nine-hole hitter, and in a league that the pitcher used to hit 3 years ago, you know, if I'm the manager of that club, I'm feeling pretty good about my 1-8 lineup, and Rojas is a plus-A outfielder. Am I right, Hugh, or not?
Plus A outfielder, yes,
so,
not a hit, yeah. not
Tom,
so much.
I understand your point, but it's not a pitching
well,
league anymore.
Brother, I get it. Look, they're at 93, 94 wins. Okay, they're jockeying for position. The Mets don't scare me because I believe the Phillies don't like the Diamondbacks being in the playoffs. They just seem to really handle the Phillies well for some reason. Now, as far as your number five starter goes. Hey, look, if I'm going into the playoffs and I'm Rob, my theory is if I got four studs and a number five guy questionable, I'm not worried about it. I got Colby Allard. I got all kinds of options I can run out at number five. They're trying to get their $72 million money worth, and they're trying not to bruise his confidence. I mean, you agree, Hugh, or?
You're talking about with Rojas?
No, Taiwan.
No,
Rojas, correct. And Taiwan.
Yeah, but it can't help his confidence when he's getting booed on and off the mound.
Oh, I think it's unfair. Why put him in with bases loaded?
Yeah, that was not smart. I agree, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, Rob is managing for the end game. They got their noses swatted last year by Arizona Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. They realized they celebrated too early. The goal was the World Series, and they got to watch the Diamondbacks celebrate. They get to watch the World Series. They get to realize that maybe they took Sanchez and Ranger out too soon in those earlier games in 3 and 4 and overmanaged the bullpen.
They probably did. Yeah, Tom, in retrospect, they didn't have enough arms and they went
Correct.
To him too early, and then they kind of ran themselves. They
Yo,
twist
brother.
Themselves into a pretzel last year. Yep.
Yeah. Yo, brother, they got him now. They got that bullpen is tight.
I agree.
They got four starters. Look, they would love to put Taiwan on the roster if they get to a seven-game series. Because then you can hide him in a bullpen and not have him on the sidelines, on the outside looking in, and maybe throw him in the garbage game, like last night. You know, I think if you put him in a clean inning, if you put Banks or if you put someone else in to clean up that bases-loaded mess, I don't think Taiwan's night goes the way it goes.
Maybe not. And that was a tough inning for him. Tom, we appreciate the call. I just want to point this out before, because we're about to head into October, and it's a good phone call there. We're going to do the Rojas thing again, right? Like, you know, we're going to go into October again. And, Hugh, my guess is, so last night Austin Hayes was activated. He came back from the IL yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hit, and he had four strong throws from the outfield. I actually was impressed last night with Austin Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to start the postseason with Rojas starting in center, and then it'll be a platoon in left field with Marsh and Hayes, depending on if it's righty or lefty.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they traded for Austin Hayes is they have a hedge now. If Rojas
isn't hitting,
right,
they can put him in the lineup.
Exactly. If Rojas is hitting decent enough with his defense, he's going to play. But now they have a hedge, and they need one. And to the point that a caller made about the nine-hole hitter, it's not that big of a deal. Last year in the NLCS, remember the name Geraldo Perdomo, the shortstop for the Diamondbacks? He hit ninth. He hit .333 in that series with 8 hits. Like, you can't just give away outs. You can't, right. So I'm okay. I'm guessing Rojas will start game one next Saturday. It'll be Martian left, but he's got to hit a little bit. Otherwise, he doesn't play.
Yeah, because the one thing that I think everybody remembers is in that moment, even though, you know, it was a bad spot to be in. They remember I guess in the waning moments of that last game, the bat was on his shoulder.
Yeah, he was overmatched.
Yeah. And it was like, that's where he caught all the ire that he caught this year. is because people don't want to relive that moment that he was in last year when he was on the mound. I mean, in the box trying to hit the ball.
Yeah, they can't go down with the ship. If he's hitting, great. Then he gets to play because he has great defense. If he's not, then you got to make a change. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, we have a glimpse inside the everyday life of Nick Sirianni later on. And Kellen Moore audio from yesterday on the collaboration between offensive coaches on game day. Interesting. You know, Kellen asked, like, how does this work? How often does Sirianni actually jump in? Is that normal? Has it happened before? You'll hear from Kellen Moore, your phone calls as well. Sirianni hurts, bigger concern for the Eagles as we move forward. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. This year, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you a chance to win big every Thursday night with FanDuel Squares. It's the same Super Bowl Squares you game you've always known, only way better. That's because your numbers aren't just randomly assigned. You get to pick them yourself. You can pick as many as you like. You get to see the odds beforehand, and you can bet them live during the game. So what are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO and bet on Squares. Plus, if you're new to FanDuel, you can get $200 of bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Sirianni, Hurts, bigger concern moving forward. Who is it? Let's check out our Twitter poll here, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. This is an interesting result today with a good number of votes. Bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward. Hugh, what's your guess? Who do you think won this poll? I guess maybe it's lost the poll, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, Coach Sirianni. Well, if it all depends on your perspective.
Who got more votes?
Coach Sirianni.
You're right, 55%, but it's kind of close. 55% Nick Sirianni, 45% Jalen Hurts on the poll
because
today.
Because I think that most people don't understand. Like, Jalen Hurts has his warts, and he has his shortcomings. No question about that. But Coach has to put him in position to be successful. And my concern is that with the coach having a little man complex, that he's not going to do what's best for the football team. That's the thing. You know, we can complain about Donovan and what he was or what he wasn't when he was here with the Philadelphia Eagles, but the bottom line is this: Big Red put him in position to be successful.
Of course.
You know, and that's what it's all about, man. You got to, like, who gets the credit? I know that's a big deal because of the situation that he's in. But the bottom line is this: you're trying to get to the Super Bowl, man. And who gets the credit? It don't matter as long as you win the game. That's it.
It does feel like a little bit of a chicken or an egg thing. Elliot brought up some points earlier that Nick was very aggressive in 2022, and we were upset at him because Jalen was so good that it made everything fine. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Here's the reality of the Eagles right now. Their margin for error is very thin.
Mm-hmm.
They're what, 2-1 with a +7 point differential?
Yes.
As we celebrate that 2-1 record. But there's not a big margin for error. Kyle, 2 years ago, they had a big margin for error. Like, Hurts could screw up once in a while. Sirianni could maybe screw up. We didn't even pay attention because they were just dominating. This year, everything that Jalen does and Nick, it's probably going to be under scrutiny because these are all going to be close games.
Yeah, I'm not really sure it's a chicken or the egg type thing because, I get the Big Red comparison with Donovan, but Big Red call plays. Sirianni doesn't. So, like, it's supposed to be, it's Kellen Moore that's putting Jalen Hurts in these situations. And if we're talking about, like, going for it and trusting his guys, I want Sirianni to trust his guys. I want Sirianni to trust Jalen Hurts. It's a matter of, is Jalen Hurts trustworthy? And I don't think he has been this year.
I will say this. Say, for instance, you're going into a game. Say you're game planning for the game. And you know that Jalen has a propensity to throw a pick if in certain formations or certain plays or whatever. As a coach, during the course of the week, we take those plays out. Well, we put him. That's what I mean when I say put him in
so
position to be successful.
I agree,
but
that says more about Jalen than it does Nick.
What is? Yeah, exactly.
Well, but the bottom line is still.
Coach him with a hand tie behind your back.
But the bottom line is still, you have to put him in position to be successful. You have to give him outlets and things of that nature. I don't know what they're doing down there.
He's not calling plays. He can't do that.
I mean, but the play selection is a play selection that Jalen's comfortable with.
But he does apparently call plays more than we know. I mean, like, let's go to this. Let's say Hugh's scenario is one they're dealing with, right? There's a certain kind of play that it seems to be, that's a tendency that Jalen's making a mistake here. If Nick Sirianni hears it on the headset, we know he's very okay with saying Kellen no, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we found this out now that he'll override Kellen Moore. That could be a spy here where he says, Kellen, I'm not sure if I like this here. I mean, that's a unique example, but maybe, right? Maybe if Nick feels like Jalen might be in a spot he makes a mistake here, he could veto it. He could say no.
And is Jalen the reason that the playbook might be limited?
Yeah. Well, that's a problem.
I mean, it's a question. It doesn't feel limited. That was just an example.
Example, yeah.
It was just an example. Because I don't know. But you go into it, like, the way that I remember it, as a coach, you, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, sit down, y'all watch film together, and you pick out plays that you think will help you beat the other team's defense, where they're weak at. And a lot of the times, that comes from watching other teams' film and looking at the personnel and saying, okay, well, we have a better tight end, or we have better receivers, so we can run these plays, we can run these dig routes, or we can run these crosses or whatever. Whatever the case may be, because the linebacker's playing kind of shallow, whatever it is. And you decipher your plays from that. This is copycat league, man. And you're going to see, I would imagine, with Coach Bowles and the fact that our receiving core is out, he's probably going to do a lot of stunting up front. Trying to put pressure on Jalen, because in the past that's been successful for him. is putting pressure on the quarterback.
And Jalen, so here's one good thing about Jalen so far this season. He has been better against the blitz, right? Like all those stuff we worried about in the offseason, that's been better. It's been the turnovers on the other plays. 215-592-9494. I do think Hurts is a bigger concern moving forward because he just looks way closer to average to me than anything great. And it's hard to win with average quarterback play if you don't have a great, great, great team around you. 215-592-9494. Jim is up on WIP. What's up, Jim?
Yo, guys.
Hey, Jim.
Appreciate the show. I'm a long ways off. I'm a Philly fan back before Hugh was even on the turf. My family's always had the season tickets.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I want to get to my point. My biggest struggle, or at least what I think is the answer, and if you apply this to everything everybody said today, I feel like I'm close to being right. The play clock goes red at least one time per series. Now, that's telling me that the play calling isn't getting in fast enough. So when you've got Jalen getting behind center, he only has 3 seconds to read the D or to decide an audible or a read. So that's my – there's two problems there, but that's the first problem that I see.
Well, that's an operational problem, Jim. And when you say that, and I've noticed that more than a few times so far this season, it makes me wonder, as we learn more about this, the operation, right? Is Sirianni getting involved? Is he questioning things? And then, you know, why are things late?
Right. When you go 3 yards, we only get a 3-yard play. And then Hurts is behind the center, and the clock's running out on the next play. There wasn't a 15-yard regroup to the huddle. You only had to go 5 feet to the huddle. So what's taking so long? So that leads to my next conflict, which is I just don't see the offensive plays building on the next play. You call plays a certain way to read a defense. If a defense responds one way, you'll run a play just to see how the defense is going to respond. The next play, and maybe the play after that, capitalizes on it. And they're all over the board. There's no consistency or coherency to this, to the next series of plays. To me, it feels like they're throwing a dart on the board. So if I'm right and you apply that to somebody like Jalen, he can't get a rhythm. When he's in a rhythm, he's extremely good. In fact, the other conflict is sometimes when he has to scramble, he gets a chance to clear his arteries out. Now he's fairly decent, but that's because he's a skilled player. I don't think we're giving him enough credit, or I think we might be a little bit too, you know, tough on him. We should be. Philly is. We eat our young, right? So that's what we do. But you know, if he's getting calls where he's got 6 seconds behind the due to play snap, he can read what's going on. You got a guy going in motion and nobody moves because there's no time.
Well, and to your point, the last the play to Goddard, right? The 61-yard of that big play, he was able to see it. I mean, they spoke that he checked to the play, he saw it was man, and he got them into the right play to where, you know, the crosser happened and the Saints obviously ran into each other. But Jalen recognized that because on that particular play, he had time to see what he was dealing with there.
He was behind center with like 7 seconds
on
the play.
Yeah, he had enough time.
And that's my point, really, guys. I think that's the root of it. If we could fix that, if we could get offensive plays that take advantage of what the defense is trying to do, you know, aggressive defenses. I coached, you know, high school football. When you have an aggressive defense, sometimes that's an advantage because you know they're ready to jump. So you can burn them. You can put plays together. And I just don't think they have. I don't think they know what the next play is. The first series of downs on this game, everybody talks about it. There was what were those plays?
Yeah, I don't know. And Jim, it makes me wonder. Jim, we appreciate the phone call. And the more we learn about that, Sirianni, and he admitted to everyone Sunday that he's calling some plays sometimes. It does make you wonder. We keep talking about too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, but it calls into question everything.
Sure.
Like the timing of the plays and all that. So like the caller was just talking about.
Because he's talking about that he doesn't feel there's a flow, right? And maybe that's because sometimes, you know, Kellen Moore is in a flow, and then Nick says, no, let's do this play, and it changes the whole, I don't know. But like an analogy I'll use, like if you're cooking and you're cooking by yourself, you know the order you're putting the ingredients in. But if you're cooking with someone else and they just like throw something in the pot, it could throw things off
because you don't see them throwing it in the pot or whatever, and they put too much salt in it.
Yeah, and maybe the order is just not right, depending on how you're supposed to. Let's hear from Kellen Moore. He was asked yesterday about how often this happens. Is it normal? Like, what is going on when Sirianni jumps in and wants to call a play?
When Nick comes to you and says he wants to call a play, like he did on that 4th-and-1, how does that happen?
Oh, I think it's just a collaborative aspect of this thing. I think from an offensive staff perspective, and really from a staff perspective in general, we're constantly talking about all these different scenarios. When can we call a particular play? Short yardage plays, we'll have a number of them, and it's a matter of us teaming up on when's the right time to call a particular one. And so, those are constant conversations. You know, Stout's heavily involved in the run game. Guys in the box, you trust their eyes on certain looks when you're using tempo and you're trying to identify a defensive look. I think it's a big team effort. And obviously, in those situations, obviously we've talked a lot about them. When can we make this decision to go for it? And sometimes Nick's going to be a part of that. Sometimes Stout's going to be a part of that. It's really a collaborative effort.
So collaborative is the way Kellen Moore described it. How about the hierarchy here? How does it work? Is it Nick on top and then Kellen and who else is involved? Here's how Kellen Moore described that.
But Nick has final say because he's the head coach. Stout doesn't. So the hierarchy is different there. How does it change when you do get the information versus when you get it from Stout or Jason Michaels or whoever else?
I think no different than any place I've ever been. Obviously, we're all teaming up on this thing and we're trying to get the calls in as fast as possible and at the same time playing situational football and making decisions at a critical time very quickly. And so we all lean on each other. I think we have an excellent process here. It's been a really fun process just because of how much work we put into it during the week to prepare ourselves for those situations.
A couple things, I don't want to hear the word collaborative ever again in sports. It's just a cop-out word. Like, who makes the decision? Well, it's collaborative. Well, no, someone makes the decision. Someone's in charge. And then this is like the fifth time we've heard Jason Michaels' name in the last 5 days.
Yeah, because you threw it out there. You threw it out there, and you have to be consistent in the message that you're giving to the people. I mean, because the reality of all of this, Joe, is that these questions aren't going away.
Nope.
They're coming again next week. They're just going to be packaged different. But they're going to be the same ones. So on 4th-and-whatever.
Who called the play?
No, it probably won't be that. But like, who made the decision to whatever?
And why was it Jason Michael?
As the days go on, I can't believe Sirianni volunteered that he calls a play every once in a while. Because now you're right, Hugh, this is not going away.
This is the rabbit hole that we're going down when it comes to this team. Especially, and it shouldn't be that way. I mean, it shouldn't. It should be about football. And people are talking about, well, you're getting stuck on this and that. What do you think they're talking about nationally? What do you think everybody's talking about?
That.
You act like people act like we're sitting up here figuring out, okay, how can we poo-poo on Coach today? How can we make him look bad? Hell, he's writing the narrative. When he does what he does.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
And it's unfortunate because I think he's a good coach. I really do. But you've opened up this door. So every week, these are going to be questions that are going to be asked, especially in a situation where the team struggles or it looks like, the play call is questionable. Who called that play? And now you just threw Jason Michaels under the bus because it's going to be like, was that a – would you think somebody's going to be in there snippy say, was that a Jason Michael call? Was that a Kellen Moore call? Or was that a Nick Sirianni call?
Was it a George Michael call?
You see what I'm saying? But that's a valid question because you've made it valid.
The fourth because down you sat there, to Saquon, was it a George Michael call? Yeah.
You sat there and you validated it when you start talking about other people and being collaborative.
You know what I think?
This ain't a mixtape. This is not a mixtape. This ain't making the band. This ain't, whatever, the Wu-Tang Clan. This ain't none of that. This is a football team, and somebody got a call to play.
You know what I thought about when Sirianni volunteered that he's the one that called the play that didn't work on Sunday? A part of him had to say, I shouldn't have said this. It wasn't a right idea. And I thought of when you say things to you and you say, I'm going to walk that back.
I'm going to walk it back. I'll walk that one back, though.
Yeah,
Joe.
But again, once it's said, you really can't walk it back. It's out there.
No, it's there already. It's the little man complex,
Well, you got to get over it because this is where we are. Let's go to Don in Delaware. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call here.
You got it, Don. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling like Nick Nurse is the only Nick we should acknowledge in Philadelphia, to be honest with you. I feel like the trend is that Jalen Hurts and the rest of the Philadelphia Eagles have to outplay the incompetency at the coaching positions. I feel like if it wasn't evident last year when we ran three screens or four screens in a row against
Arizona,
the Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs one, yeah. Well, yeah. It was multiple times, but yes.
Yeah, it was multiple times. I feel like if we weren't able to see the proof of the pudding now, then we should either get up and stop eating the pudding, or we should probably just smash our face in, because that's what we're going to be doing the rest of these Sundays if Nick Sirianni's at the helm.
Well, unfortunately, he's probably going to be at the helm. I mean, unless they like lose the next three games.
Where are you going?
He's not going anywhere. Like, unless they fall on their face, he's going to be here the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's
going
to be here.
And I've had a wise man tell me that it's going to take for us to, like, absolutely crap the bed till our bye week for Nick to be out. And I don't know if I want that, but I also don't want to be as stressed as I was Monday and Sunday.
Man,
but I appreciate y'all, good brothers, for taking my call. That's all I got, right?
You got it.
No,
John,
I hear you, but
it.
Man, listen. I'm rolling with whatever this is. I'm going to Louisiana. We going to Louisiana. So we need to figure this out. We are a dysfunctional family right now, but I'm riding till the wheels fall off. I'm not getting off this train, and Nick Sirianni has to be the guy that gets us there, because that's the choice that we made. We can't choose our parents, Joe. We can't choose our siblings. We can't choose anybody that we call family, but damn it, this is ours, and we're going to roll with them. So that's how I feel. I'm going to sit here and complain about him every day. Might even call him mean and hurtful names, but I'm going to still believe in him on Sunday.
Yeah,
I wasn't cool with all my teammates, but I was really cool with them on Sunday. So I don't – hey, listen, y'all, you and Joe – y'all gotta learn how to compartmentalize, man.
Well, I can't. And here's no. I can compartmentalize.
No.
I know he just said flat out. No.
Flat out.
On that same note, we're not getting Louisiana if the quarterback turns the football.
We can fix that.
Can I just give you a number?
I don't know if I want you to give me this number.
Okay, I don't know if anyone said it like this. Jalen Hurts is on pace for 34 turnovers this season.
He threw 30 interceptions.
He also threw like 40 touchdowns.
And he went to the Super Bowl.
Did Brett Favre go to a Super Bowl?
I don't know, but it fits the narrative.
I don't think he went there in the 30 interception season.
It fits the narrative.
I know,
it fits my narrative.
It may be wrong, but it's okay.
Also, I have news for that caller.
Yeah.
There's now nothing at this point that can happen in this game, barring Nick Sirianni like saying something disparaging about Jeffrey Lurie and his family. That's getting him fired. That ship sailed after they won this week.
Man, listen, what we need to stop doing is stop wishing for this man to get fired, because that's not going to happen. And let's just pull together and get this season, man. Let's get this win this weekend.
So just on the so just,
I don't believe
we're
going to get
just
it.
Just to make sure we have our facts.
Think we're going to get it, but still.
The year that Favre won the Super Bowl, he only had 13 picks. All right, so.
Why you have to go in there and get on your computer looking up stuff?
The three straight MVPs, he had 13, 13, and 16, but he also threw 38 touchdowns, 39 touchdowns, and 35 touchdowns.
Three straight MVPs.
Why y'all got to go get on the computer looking up
stuff? Well, because if you're going to compare a quarterback to Favre.
No, I'm just saying, talk about the season where he threw 30 picks.
29,
talk about that
29. You know what they did? They drafted Aaron Rodgers. And they said, we're done with this.
I hate you guys.
29. See you, buddy. We're getting a quarterback. Let's go to David in Westchester. What's up, David?
You guys have totally brought me down once again today. Thank you.
David, you're more than welcome.
That's Joe's fault.
What did I do?
You just talking about the quarterback. Joe,
yes, he's on pace for 34 turnovers.
You told the truth is the problem. Don't ever do that.
Facts. Listen, facts over feelings.
No, no facts. No, I don't want facts, okay? Now, the bottom line here, Jack Del Rio wants to know what you bring to the show, Joe. All right?
Does Hugh do anything for us?
Yeah, he's talking about Hugh, not me.
Oh, don't
I? I've never had any beef with Jack. I mean, he's kind of dopey, but he's never had any beef with me.
He does now. All right, but as far as here's where you're missing the whole point here, Joe, is if you watch over the last 3 weeks, Jalen Hurts has steadily gotten better in the pocket. He's doing better with the reads. He's looking a little more comfortable, and that's just going to take time. The problem we have is as a couple callers ago, where Nick Sirianni's in everybody's ear, and he's disrupting the whole thing. And I'm going to stand to my point of he needs to get his butt into the equipment room and get off my sideline. And as sooner that happens, you know, like I said, I'm one in five, but sooner he gets off that sideline and gets out of everybody's ear, the better the team's going to be. Because this team has talent, and even with all the injuries, it still has talent, and it can probably go up against any team in the NFL as long as you got some Nimrod back there whispering in everybody's ear. Well, you know, I don't think this other guy exists. I think it's Nick Sirianni, you know, his alter ego, and he has two voices in Kellen Moore's ear and going, oh, Kellen, we got two people saying this. So it's just, yeah, he's got to go.
Well, where's he going to go?
He's going to the equipment room, Joe. I already gave him that.
The equipment room.
So. Yeah, that is a possibility. I'm not sure if it's likely, but it is a possibility. David, we appreciate the phone call. So we're moving Sirianni at 2-1 to the equipment room?
No, that's not happening.
Okay.
That's not happening. He has a chance to redeem himself this
week. Well, the last time we put somebody in a broom closet, they came out a better person. The Super Bowl. So
100%, man.
I would love to hear what Howie's thinking about all this right now. Like, I would love Truth Serum Howie on the quarterback and the coach. Because he built the team around these two, right? He's paid the quarterback, he built the whole roster around this quarterback, and he's got this coach here. Now, I mean, I don't know if he wanted to keep him or not. Jeff obviously got the final say, but I would love to hear what Howie thinks of the two guys in charge of the rest of the team.
I can tell you what a second, because he's listening and he's going, they're talking about Jalen Hurts. They're talking about Nick Sirianni.
And not me.
Not talking about me.
Not talking about Bryce
Huff. I would love to have been in the room with Howie when they went for that tush push instead of taking the 3 points.
That's what I mean. I want to know what Howie's thinking.
Yeah, but I'm saying I want to know exactly what he said in that moment. I want to be that person that's close enough to him to know exactly what he said in that moment.
So I've observed Howie for enough time that he wears his emotions on his sleeves. I remember during the what were the Eagles on in 2019? The Amazon, like, in season show?
Mm-hmm.
Who was that called?
All or Nothing?
All or Nothing.
Yeah, I think so.
And I remember watching it in the offseason, and there was a play, you probably remember, I think it was against the Seahawks here in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Wentz overthrew Miles Sanders on an out route. It had to go over his head by 10 yards.
And that's where you knew it was over, too.
And they panned they panned the camera to Howie, and Howie looked like he saw a ghost. Like, at that moment, I said, he knows he has the wrong quarterback. So, I want the camera on Howie every game now.
So I have a cut from before the Bill game that I think should come up every time we're questioning Nick Sirianni's decisions.
Okay.
When he was asked this.
Nick, are you ill?
Every fourth down he goes for. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Sirianni Hurts, bigger concern moving forward. Who is it? Let's check out our Twitter poll here, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. This is an interesting result today with a good number of votes. Bigger concern for the Eagles moving forward. Hugh, what's your guess? Who do you think won this poll? I guess maybe it's lost the poll, depending on how you look at it.
Oh, Coach Sirianni. Well, if it all depends on your perspective.
Who got more votes?
Coach Sirianni.
You're right, 55%, but it's kind of close. 55% Nick Sirianni, 45% Jalen Hurts on the poll
because
today.
Because I think that most people don't understand. Like, Jalen Hurts has his warts, and he has his shortcomings. No question about that. But Coach has to put him in position to be successful. And my concern is that with the coach having a little man complex, that he's not going to do what's best for the football team. That's the thing. You know, we can complain about Donovan and what he was or what he wasn't when he was here with the Philadelphia Eagles, but the bottom line is this: Big Red put him in position to be successful.
Of course.
You know, and that's what it's all about, man. You got to, like, who gets the credit? I know that's a big deal because of the situation that he's in. But the bottom line is this: you're trying to get to the Super Bowl, man. And who gets the credit? It don't matter as long as you win the game. That's it.
It does feel like a little bit of a chicken or an egg thing. Elliot brought up some points earlier that Nick was very aggressive in 2022, and we were upset at him because Jalen was so good that it made everything fine. Like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Here's the reality of the Eagles right now. Their margin for error is very thin.
Mm-hmm.
They're what, 2-1 with a +7 point differential?
Yes.
As we celebrate that 2-1 record. But there's not a big margin for error. Kyle, 2 years ago, they had a big margin for error. Like, Hurts could screw up once in a while. Sirianni could maybe screw up. We didn't even pay attention because they were just dominating. this year, everything that Jalen does and Nick, it's probably going to be under scrutiny because these are all going to be close games.
Yeah, I'm not really sure it's a chicken or the egg type thing because, I get the Big Red comparison with Donovan, but Big Red call plays. Sirianni doesn't. So, like, it's supposed to be, it's Kellen Moore that's putting Jalen Hurts in these situations. And if we're talking about, like, going for it and trusting his guys, I want Sirianni to trust his guys. I want Sirianni to trust Jalen Hurts. It's a matter of, is Jalen Hurts trustworthy? And I don't think he has been this year.
I will say this. Say, for instance, you're going into a game. Say you're game planning for the game. And you know that Jalen has a propensity to throw a pick if in certain formations or certain plays or whatever. As a coach, during the course of the week, we take those plays out.
Well,
we put him in, that's what I mean when I say put him in position to be successful.
I agree,
but
that says more about Jalen than it does Nick.
What is, exactly.
Well, but the bottom line is still.
Coach him with a hand tie behind your back.
But the bottom line is still, you have to put him in position to be successful. You have to give him outlets and things of that nature. I don't know what they're doing down there.
He's not calling plays. He can't do that.
I mean, but the play selection is a play selection that Jalen's comfortable with.
But he does apparently call plays more than we know. I mean, like he's in. Let's go to this. Let's say Hugh's scenario is one they're dealing with, right? There's a certain kind of play that it seems to be that's a tendency that Jalen's making a mistake here. If Nick Sirianni hears it on the headset, we know he's very okay with saying Kellen no, right? Mm-hmm. Like we found this out now that he'll override Kellen Moore. That could be a spy here where he says, Kellen, I'm not sure if I like this here. I mean, that's a unique example, but maybe, right? Maybe if Nick feels like Jalen might be in a spot he makes a mistake here, he could veto it. He could say no.
And is Jalen the reason that the playbook might be limited?
Yeah. Well, that's a problem.
I mean, it's a question. It doesn't feel limited. That was just an example.
Example, yeah.
It was just an example. Because I don't know. But you go into it, like the way that I remember it, as a coach, you, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, sit down, y'all watch film together, and you pick out plays that you think will help you beat the other team's defense, where they're weak at. And a lot of the times, that comes from watching other teams' film and looking at the personnel and saying, okay, well, we have a better tight end or we have better receivers. So we can run these plays. We can run these dig routes. So we can run these crosses or whatever. Whatever the case may be, because the linebacker is playing kind of shallow, whatever it is. And you decipher your plays your plays from that. This is copycat league, man. And you're going to see, I would imagine, with Coach Bowles and the fact that our receiving core is out, he's probably going to do a lot of stunting up front. Trying to put pressure on Jalen because in the past that's been successful for him. Is putting pressure on the quarterback.
And Jalen, so here's one good thing about Jalen so far this season. He has been better against the blitz, right? Like all those stuff we worried about in the offseason, that's been better. It's been the turnovers in the other place. 215-592-9494. I do think Hurts is a bigger concern moving forward because he just looks way closer to average to me than anything great. And it's hard to win with average quarterback play if you don't have a great, great, great team around you. 215-592-9494. Jim is up on WIP. What's up, Jim?
Yo, guys.
Hey, Jim.
Appreciate the show. I'm a long ways off. I'm a Philly fan back before Hugh was even on the turf. My family's always had the season tickets.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I want to get to my point. My biggest struggle, or at least what I think is the answer, and if you apply this to everything everybody said today, I feel like I'm close to being right. The play clock goes red at least one time per series. Now, that's telling me that the play calling isn't getting in fast enough. So when you've got Jalen getting behind center, he only has 3 seconds to read the D or to decide an audible or a read. So that's my – there's two problems there. That's the first problem that I see.
Well, that's an operational problem, Jim. And when you say that, and I've noticed that more than a few times so far this season, it makes me wonder, as we learn more about this, the operation, right? Is Sirianni getting involved? Is he questioning things? And then, you know, why are things late?
Right. When you go 3 yards, we only get a 3-yard play. And then Hurts is behind the center, and the clock's running out on the next play. There wasn't a 15-yard regroup to the huddle. You only had to go 5 feet to the huddle. So what's taking so long? So that leads to my next conflict, which is I just don't see the offensive plays building on the next play. You call plays a certain way to read a defense. If a defense responds one way, you'll run a play just to see how the defense is going to respond. The next play, and maybe the play after that, capitalizes on it. And they're all over the board. There's no consistency or coherency to the next series of plays. To me, it feels like they're throwing a dart on the board. So if I'm right, and you apply that to somebody like Jalen, he can't get a rhythm. He when he's in a rhythm, he's extremely good. In fact, the other conflict is sometimes when he has to scramble, he gets a chance to clear his arteries out. Now he's fairly decent, but that's because he's a skilled player. I don't think we're giving him enough credit, or I think we might be a little bit too, you know, tough on him. Well, we should be. Philly is. We eat our young, right? So that's what we do. But, you know, if he's getting calls where he's got 6 seconds behind the due to play snap, he can read what's going on. He can. You got a guy going in motion and nobody moves because there's no time.
Well, and to your point, the play to Goddard, right? The 61-yarder, that big play. He was able to see it. I mean, they spoke that he checked to the play. He saw it was man, and he got them into the right play to where, you know, the crosser happened, and then the Saints obviously right. ran into each other. But Jalen recognized that because on that particular play, he had time to see what he was dealing with there.
He was behind center with like 7 seconds
yeah.
from the play.
Yeah, he had enough time.
And that's my point, really, guys. I think that's the root of it. If we could fix that, if we could get offensive plays that take advantage of what the defense is trying to do. You know, aggressive defenses, I coached, you know, high school football. When you have an aggressive defense, sometimes that's an advantage because you know they're ready to jump. So you can burn them. You can put plays together. And I just don't think they have – I don't think they know what the next play is. The first series of downs on this game, everybody talks about it. There was – What were those plays?
Yeah, it makes me wonder. Yeah, I don't know. And Jim, it makes me wonder. Jim, we appreciate the phone call. And the more we learn about that Sirianni, and he admitted to everyone Sunday that he's calling some plays sometimes, it does make you wonder. We keep talking about too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, but it calls into question everything.
Sure.
Like the timing the plays and all that. So like the caller was just talking about.
Because he's talking about that he doesn't feel there's a flow, right? And maybe that's because sometimes, you know, Kellen Moore is in a flow. And then Nick says, no, let's do this play, and it changes the whole – I don't know. But, like, an analogy I'll use, like, if you're cooking and you're cooking by yourself, you know the order you're putting the ingredients in. But mm-hmm. if you're cooking with someone else and they just, like, throw something in the pot, it could throw
things off because you don't see them throwing it in the pot or whatever, and they put too much salt in it.
And maybe the order is just not right, depending on how you're supposed to. Let's hear from Kellen Moore. He was asked yesterday about how often this happens. Is it normal? Like, what is going on when Sirianni jumps in and wants to call a play?
When Nick comes to you and says he wants to call a play like he did on that 4th-and-1, how does that happen?
Oh, I think it's just a collaborative aspect of this thing. I think from an offensive staff perspective, and really from a staff perspective in general, we're constantly talking about all these different scenarios. When can we call a particular play? Short yardage plays, we'll have a number of them, and it's a matter of us teaming up on when's the right time to call a particular one. And so, you know, those are constant conversations. You know, Stout's heavily involved in the run game. Guys in the box, you trust their eyes on certain looks when you're using tempo and you're trying to identify a defensive look. You know, I think it's a big team effort. And obviously, you know, in those situations, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about them. When can we make this decision to go for it? You know, and sometimes Nick's going to be a part of that. Sometimes Stout's going to be a part of that. It's really a collaborative effort.
So collaborative is the way Kellen Moore described it. How about the hierarchy here? How does it work? Is it Nick on top and then Kellen and who else is involved? Here's how Kellen Moore described that.
But if I could follow up, though, but like Nick has final say because he's the head coach. Stout doesn't, so the hierarchy is different there. How does it change when you do get the information versus when you get it from Stout or Jason Michaels or whoever else?
I think no different than any place I've ever been. Obviously, we're all teaming up on this thing, and we're trying to get the calls in as fast as possible, and at the same time playing situational football and making decisions at a critical time very quickly. And so we all lean on each other. I think we have an excellent process here. It's been a really fun process just because of how much work we put into it during the week to prepare ourselves for those situations.
A couple things, I don't want to hear the word collaborative ever again in sports. It's just a cop-out word. Like, who makes the decision? Well, it's collaborative. Well, no, someone makes the decision. Someone's in charge. And then this is like the fifth time we've heard Jason Michael's name in the last 5 days.
Yeah, because you threw it out there. You threw it out there, and you have to be consistent in the message that you're giving to the people. I mean, because the reality of all of this, Joe, is that these questions aren't going away.
Nope.
They're coming again next week. They're just going to be packaged different. But they're going to be the same ones. So on fourth and whatever.
Who called the play?
Who called the play? No, it probably won't be that. But like, who made the decision to whatever?
And why was it Jason Michael?
I can't believe, as the days go on, I can't believe Sirianni volunteered that he calls a play every once in a while. Because now you're right, Hugh, this is not going away.
This is the rabbit hole that we're going down when it comes to this team. Especially, and it shouldn't be that way. I mean, it shouldn't. It should be about football. And people are talking about, well, you're getting stuck on this and that. What do you think they're talking about nationally? What do you think everybody's talking about?
That.
You act like people act like we're sitting up here figuring out, okay, how can we poo-poo on Coach today? How can we make him look bad? Hell, he's writing the narrative. When he does what he does.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
And it's unfortunate because I think he's a good coach. I really do. But you've opened up this door. So every week, these are going to be questions that are going to be asked, especially in a situation where the team struggles or it looks like, you know, the play call is questionable. Who called that play? And now you just threw Jason Michaels under the bus because it's going to be like, was that a – would you think somebody's going to be in there snippy say, was that a Jason Michael call? Was that a Kellen Moore call? Or was that a Nick Sirianni call?
Was it a George Michael call?
You see what I'm saying? But that's a valid question because you've made it valid.
The fourth because down you to, sat there, to Saquon was a George Michael call. Yeah.
You sat there and you validated it when you start talking about other people and being collaborative.
You know what I think?
This ain't a mixtape. This is not a mixtape. This ain't making the band. This ain't, you know, whatever, the Wu-Tang Clan. This ain't none of that. This is a football team, and somebody got a call to play.
You know what I thought about when Sirianni volunteered that he's the one that called the play that didn't work on Sunday? A part of him had to say, I shouldn't have said this. It wasn't a right idea. And I thought of when you say things to you and you say, I'm going to walk that back.
I'm going to walk it back. I'll walk that one back, though.
Yeah,
Joe.
But again, once it's said, you really can't walk it back. It's out there.
No, it's there already. It's the little man complex, you know.
Well, you got to get over it because this is where we are. Let's go to Don in Delaware. Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call here.
You got it, Don. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling like Nick Nurse is the only Nick we should acknowledge in Philadelphia, to be honest with you. I feel like the trend is that Jalen Hurts and the rest of the Philadelphia Eagles have to outplay the incompetency at the coaching positions. I feel like if it wasn't evident last year when we ran three screens or four screens in a row against
Arizona.
The Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs one, yeah. Well, yeah. It was multiple times, but yes.
Yeah, it was multiple times. I feel like if we weren't able to see the proof of the pudding now, then we should either get up and stop eating the pudding or we should probably just smash our face in because that's what we're going to be doing the rest of these Sundays if Nick Sirianni's at the helm.
Well, unfortunately, he's probably going to be at the helm. I mean, unless they like lose the next three games,
where are you going?
He's not going anywhere. Like unless they fall on their face, he's going to be here the rest of the season.
Yeah, he's going to be here.
And I've had a wise man tell me that it's going to take for us to like absolutely crap the bed till our bye week for Nick to be out. And I don't know if I want that, but I also don't want to be as stressed as I was Monday and Sunday.
Man,
but I appreciate y'all, good brothers, for taking my call. That's all I got, right?
You got it.
No,
Don,
I hear you, but
it.
Man, listen. I'm rolling with whatever this is. I'm going to Louisiana. We going to Louisiana. So we need to figure this out. We are a dysfunctional family right now, but I'm riding till the wheels fall off. I'm not getting off this train, and Nick Sirianni has to be the guy that gets us there because that's the choice that we made. We can't choose our parents, Joe. We can't choose our siblings. We can't choose anybody that we call family, but damn it, this is ours, and we're going to roll with them. So that's how I feel. I'm going to sit here and complain about him every day. Might even call him mean and hurtful names, but I'm going to still believe in him on Sunday.
Yeah.
I wasn't cool with all my teammates, but I was really cool with him on Sunday. So I know, hey, listen, y'all, you and Joe, Y'all got to learn how to compartmentalize, man.
Well, I can't. And here's what I can compartmentalize. No. I know, he just said flat out no.
Flat out.
On that same note, we're not getting to Louisiana if the quarterback turns the football.
We can fix that.
Can I just give you a number? I don't know if anyone said it like this. Jalen Hurts is on pace for 34 turnovers this season.
He threw 30 interceptions.
But he also threw like 40 touchdowns.
And he went to the Super Bowl.
Did Brett Favre go to a Super Bowl?
I don't know, but it fits the narrative.
I don't think he went there in the 30 interception season.
It fits the narrative. I know, it fits my narrative.
It may be wrong, but it's okay.
Also, I have news for that caller.
Yeah.
There's now nothing at this point that can happen in this game, barring Nick Sirianni like saying something disparaging about Jeffrey Lurie and his family. That's getting him fired. That ship sailed after they won this week.
Man, listen, what we need to stop doing is stop wishing for this man to get fired, because that's not going to happen. And let's just pull together and get this season. Man, let's get this win this weekend.
So okay. Just to make sure we have our facts.
Think we're going to get it, but still.
The year that Favre won the Super Bowl, he only had 13 picks. All right, so.
Why you have to go in there and get on your computer looking up stuff?
The three straight MVP years, he had 13, 13, and 16, but he also threw 38 touchdowns, 39 touchdowns, and 35 touchdowns. Three straight MVPs.
Why y'all got to go get on the computer looking up stuff?
Well, because if you're going to compare a quarterback to Favre.
No, I'm just saying, talk about the season when he threw 30 picks.
29,
talk about
29.
That
you know what they did? They drafted Aaron Rodgers. And they said, we're done with this.
I hate you guys.
29. See you, buddy. We're getting a quarterback. Let's go to David in Westchester. What's up, David?
You guys have totally brought me down once again today. Thank you.
David, you're more than welcome.
That's Joe's fault.
What did I do?
You just talking about the quarterback. Joe,
he's on pace for 34 turnovers.
You told the truth is the problem. Don't ever do that.
Facts. Listen, facts over feelings.
No, no facts. No, I don't want facts, okay? Now, the bottom line here, Jack Del Rio wants to know what you bring to the show, Joe. All right?
Does Hugh do anything for us?
Yeah, he's talking about Hugh, not me.
Oh, don't
I? I've never had any beef with Jack. I mean, he's kind of dopey, but he's never had any beef with me.
He does now. All right, but as far as here's where you're missing the whole point here, Joe, is if you watch over the last 3 weeks, Jalen Hurts has steadily gotten better in the pocket. He's doing better with the reads. He's looking a little more comfortable, and that's just going to take time. The problem we have is as a couple callers ago, where Nick Sirianni's in everybody's ear, and he's disrupting the whole thing. And I'm going to stand to my point of he needs to get his butt into the equipment room and get off my sideline. And as sooner that happens, you know, like I said, I want him fired, but sooner he gets off that sideline and gets out of everybody's ear, the better the team's going to be. Because this team has talent, and even with all the injuries, it still has talent, and it can probably go up against any team in the NFL as long as you got some Nimrod back there whispering in everybody's ear, well, you know, I don't think this other guy exists. I think it's Nick Sirianni, you know, his alter ego, and he has two voices in Kellen Moore's ear and going, oh, Kellen, we got two people saying this. So it's just, yeah, he's got to go.
Where is he going to go?
He's going to the equipment room, Joe. I already gave him that.
The equipment room.
So. Yeah, that is a possibility. I'm not sure if it's likely, but it is a possibility. David, we appreciate the phone call. So we're moving Sirianni at 2-1 to the equipment room?
No, that's not happening.
Okay.
That's not happening. He has a chance to redeem himself this
week. Well, the last time we put somebody in a broom closet, they came out a better person. The Super Bowl. So
100%, man.
I would love to hear what Howie's thinking about all this right now. Like, I would love truth serum Howie on the quarterback and the coach. Because he built the team around these two, right? He's paid the quarterback, he built the whole roster around this quarterback, and he's got this coach here. Now, I mean, I don't know if he wanted to keep him or not. Jeff obviously got the final say, but I would love to hear what Howie thinks of the two guys in charge of the rest of the team.
I can tell you what he's thinking, because he's listening and he's going, they're talking about Jalen Hurts. They're talking about Nick Sirianni.
And not me.
Not talking about me.
Not talking about Bryce Huff.
I would love to have been in the room with Howie when they went for that tush push instead of taking the 3 points.
That's what I mean. I want to know what Howie's thinking.
Yeah, but I'm saying I want to know exactly what he said in that moment. I want to be that person that's close enough to him to know exactly what he said in that moment.
So I've observed Howie for enough time that he wears his emotions on his sleeves. I remember during the What were the Eagles on in 2019? The Amazon, like, in season show?
Mm-hmm.
Who was that called?
All or Nothing?
All or Nothing.
Yeah, I think so.
And I remember watching it in the offseason, and there was a play, you probably remember, I think it was against the Seahawks here in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Wentz overthrew Miles Sanders on an out route by, it had to go over his head by 10 yards.
And that's where you knew it was over, too.
And they panned they panned the camera to Howie, and Howie looked like he saw a ghost. Like, at that moment, I said, he knows he has the wrong quarterback. So, I want the camera on Howie every game now.
So I have a cut from before the Bill game that I think should come up every time we're questioning Nick Sirianni's decisions.
Okay.
When he was asked this.
Nick, are you ill?
Every fourth down he goes for.